gathering in the back, we're going to turn the lights on down here. There's some right behind you, Carrie. There's two light switch. Just knock those down. Thank you. As we left last evening, come on in. As we left last evening, we remember that Christ had just died, and upon his death, there was a party of a few women, and Joseph of Arimathea, who opened up his tomb, and they laid Christ's body there, and they did some of the very, very beginning initial preparations for his burial. But as you recall, on Sunday morning, very early, the women would go to the tomb. So this is the Easter vigil. This is the night before. The night before the women going to the tomb and finding Christ. At this time, we ask that we would distribute the lighting of the candle. And as we share that, are lit. We'll actually have you join in the singing. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? We will walk in following the Christ candle, the Paschal candle, and we'll place ourselves in one of the seats, and the service will then continue.
Thank you.
Dear friends in Christ, on this most holy night when our Savior Jesus Christ passed from death to life, we gather with all the church throughout the world in a vigil and prayer. This is the Passover of Jesus Christ. Through light and word, we celebrate the new life that Christ shares with us. Let us pray, redeeming God, source of life and light, bless this new fire and grant that we who are warmed by the celebration of this Easter feast may share in the everlasting festival of your radiance. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, illuminate our hearts and our minds. The light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Rejoice, all of creation. Let the heavenly chorus sing. Jesus Christ, our light, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendor. The light of Christ will warm our night. Christ has conquered. Glory fills you. Darkness will vanish forever. Rejoice, O church of God. Exalt in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you. Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly right that we should, with full hearts and minds and voices, that we should praise you, eternal God, and your firstborn, our Savior Jesus Christ. For Christ is the true Passover Lamb, who at this feast has yet set faithful people free. This is the night when you saved the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt and led them through the Red Sea on dry land. This is the night when the pillar of fire brought light to your wandering people. This is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from gloom and are released in growth and grace together in fullness of life. This is the night when Jesus Christ broke the chains of death and rose triumphant from the grave. Night truly blessed when heaven is wedded to earth and we are reconciled with God. Therefore, holy God, in the joy of this night, accept our evening sacrifice of praise, your church's solemn offering. Let them mingle with the lights of heaven and continue burning the light in the darkness of this night. As that morning star rises to shed his peaceful light on all creation, Christ is now alive and glorified with you forever and ever. Amen. You may extinguish your candles. You can place those or bring those with you to the altar and place them in the basket at that time of your before you leave. You may be seated. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb very early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first, and stooping in to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb, And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stood to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel this evening is the basis for our text and our sermon this evening. First day of the week, Sunday morning. On Friday, we recall that Jesus had been tried and then was crucified. We are reminded that Jesus himself, of his life, it was perfectly lived out without sin, was tried as a common criminal. Though Pilate found nothing deserving of death in him, he heard the crowds that cried out, "Crucify him," and he succumbed to their cries. We remember that it is about the 12th hour, 6th hour, or 9 o'clock, or 12 o'clock rather, excuse me, when Jesus was crucified. And by the 9th hour, or 3 o'clock, you would see that Jesus had hung his head and said, "It is finished." And as we heard last evening, we heard what those words really meant. That he'd accomplished his mission. He'd successfully paid the price that was due for all the world's sins. As the Son of Man, he had lived a perfect life. But as the Son of God, the worth and the value of his suffering and death could be the payment for all of our sins. And so it is, my friends, that we were not redeemed with gold or silver or with lamb's blood, but rather with the blood of God's own Son. Now, Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene as she's known, was a woman who had been following Jesus and his ministry. She is called Magdalene as a woman from that area of Magdala, which was a Jewish fishing village. She's mentioned some 12 times in the canonical Gospels. More than most of the apostles had been mentioned in mentioning her, that they would be able to see that she indeed was one of those faithful followers. Mary's epithet most likely means that she came from the town of Magdala. She's not the woman of ill repute that prepared Jesus' body for burial with the perfume and the wetting of the hair. She is the one who would be with Jesus in his burial and in his crucifixion. She was a witness to Christ's crucifixion. Mary Magdalene, the scriptures tell us this day, went to the tomb while it was still dark. Early Sunday morning, she had seen the stone had already been taken away from the tomb. And the rest of the group had been women who were following her, were actually coming there also, discussing among themselves, "How can this stone be moved away?" No one going to the tomb of Jesus this Easter morning expected to find anything other than a dead, lifeless body of Jesus Christ. And they were surprised when they saw that 2.5-ton stone being rolled away, or that had been rolled away. And so much so was it that she ran and she told Simon Peter, probably suspecting that the soldiers had done something or that someone had moved the body and it was a foul play. So she ran and told Simon Peter and the others, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him." And you know good old Peter, impetuous Peter, the one who would even die with Jesus for the sake, would never deny him. Yet that evening that Jesus was tried, you remember, before the cock had crowed twice, Peter had already denied knowing Jesus 3 times. The other disciple that was with him, John, ran with him too, and both of them were running together, but John outran Peter. And he reached the tomb first. And stooping in to look in, John saw the linen cloth lying there, just like Mary had said, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came following John, and he went into the tomb straightway. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and also the face cloth which was on Jesus' head. But it wasn't lying there. It was folded up, neatly put to the side by itself. Now, how did all of this happen? Certainly, if these were grave robbers, they wouldn't have been worried about such things as a body, a dead body. What could they do with that? And they certainly wouldn't have taken the time, either they or the soldiers, if they were going to do something mischievous, as to fold up the cloths and to tidy up the place before the women would get there. No, there had to be another explanation. Then the other disciple, you know, who got to the tomb first, John, he also went in and saw, just as the women had reported. They did not yet, however, understand the scriptures that Jesus would rise from the dead. Jesus, who had said to them some 9 times in the Gospels that since transfiguration to this time, Jesus had told them that he must suffer, that he would die, and that on the 3rd day he would rise again. Yet they still didn't understand what the scriptures had said. And so they went back to their homes, at least for a while, because a little later in the day they got fearful from other reports of the tomb being emptied, and others who had seen and heard from Jesus and seen him to be alive. And so they came together and locked themselves in a home behind locked doors, thinking that certainly someone is going to come and have them arrested and they would suffer the same fate as Jesus. You see, it is without anyone believing in the resurrection that this story begins. And when you and I start to see that these people who are going there were expecting to prepare a body for death, for a final burial. But Mary stayed at the tomb, weeping outside. And she wept and she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw the 2 angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at his head and another at his feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Neither did Mary understand, though she had been with Jesus throughout his ministry, the reality of the resurrection had not yet been understood, because the reality of the crucifixion was so horrible that it cast out all possibilities of believing that Jesus could have risen from the dead. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And supposing Jesus to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell him where you've laid him, and I'll make and take away and take him away." Why didn't she recognize Jesus? I don't know. Perhaps as you saw people still walking in the doors here in the church with darkness in the back in the narthex, you may have found it difficult to make that shadowy figure out, like a person in a witness protection program. You couldn't really distinguish who they were. Perhaps that's what it was. Or perhaps it was as Mary, now standing inside of the tomb, looked at all the light coming in, was also had a possibility of somewhat of a blinding factor. But the Lord had not yet revealed himself to her. But notice what happens. He says her name, Mary. For those of you who are mothers, and those of you who are children, and if I have it right, I think that's all of us, one or the other group. You knew when your name was called who was calling you. You knew that was your mom. That's what it was like for Mary. The scriptures also tells us, Jesus' own words, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know my name, and they follow me." Jesus says to her, "Mary," and she turns, and she says, "Rabboni, is it you?" Can you imagine? After watching the horrors of a crucifixion, then to see and to hear the voice of the one that you had come to bury, and that he was really alive. That's what happened. That's what they understood. And that's what Mary told the disciples. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and as she recognized the voice, she ran and she began to cling to Jesus. And in the Greek, that clinging really is that it is clinging. She wouldn't let go. She was so overjoyed that she just wanted to hold Jesus. She wanted to feel him breathe in and breathe out. She wanted to hear his voice. She probably wanted to see if it was really him. She wouldn't quit clinging. And so Jesus simply had to say, "Mary, stop clinging. For I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." He was saying, "Mary, I'll be with you a while yet longer. But there's an important message I want you to deliver to my disciples. To tell them this good news, that I've defeated death, overcome the grave, I am alive." And Mary ran back from the tomb to tell the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She told all the things that he had said to her. What do you think your conversation with Jesus is going to be like when you see him? Do you think you'll cling to Jesus, kind of like Mary did? Do you think you'll just not want to leave his side? Do you think that you'll just want to hear his voice again and again say to you, "Come, see the place that I prepared for you"? Do you think you'll want to cling to him and to thank him over and over and over again? I think Jesus' words to us are fitting for where we're at here and now. Stop clinging. Go and tell. Go and tell the world of who I am and what I've done. Tell them. Later, on this same day, Jesus would walk with the Emmaus disciples, who were not expecting to see Jesus either. And once they recognized Jesus, they ran back to find those disciples. They found them locked behind closed doors for fear, cowering in their faith, and not understanding that Christ had really risen. Mary and then the other women had also gone to tell them the story that Jesus had really raised from the dead. That he was alive. And later, behind locked doors, came a knock. And then Jesus entered the room through the door and appeared to his disciples. May the Lord bless you, my friends, as Jesus enters our life, behind the doors that we have sometimes locked ourselves. May we be able to stop clinging like Mary and go and tell. Though we've been told time and time and time again that Jesus really did rise from the dead, may we tonight leave this place really believing it, trusting it, and understanding that his victory over sin, death, and devil, and the grave means that we have victory over sin, death, the devil, and the grave. My friends, this is a great night. May he bless you as we come back tomorrow to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. I now invite you to affirm your commitment to Christ and your rejection of all that is evil through the renewal of your baptism. Do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. From the beginning, believers have continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Will you commit yourself to this life? The help of God. Will you forgive others as you are forgiven? I will, with God's help. Will you seek to love your neighbor as yourself and strive for peace and justice? I will, with God's help. Will you accept the cost of following Jesus Christ in your daily life and work? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and action the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to offer thanks and praise. We thank you, God, for your love in all creation, especially for your gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all your life. We thank you through the waters of baptism. You cleanse us, renew us by your Spirit, and raise us to new life. In the new covenant, we are made members of your church and share in your eternal kingdom. We pray that all who have passed through the waters of baptism may continue forever in the risen life of Christ. Through Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all praise and thanks be yours, Redeemer God, now and forever. O God, our Creator, the rock of our salvation, we thank you for our new birth by water and Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of sins, and for our fellowship in the household of faith. With all those who have been baptized in your name, keep us faithful to the calling of our baptism, now and forever. The risen Christ is in our midst. So with Christ we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go now to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace. Alleluia. Alleluia.
He is risen!